Florida Department of Juvenile Justice Secretary Christy Daly says she's proud of several bills, including one expunging certain juvenile records to DMVs providing no-cost ID cards for juveniles transitioning back into the community. But Daly says she's especially glad a long-running juvenile detention cost dispute between the state and the counties got resolved.
We had a great year. I would say probably one of our biggest accomplishments was getting the detention cost share bill finally passed. This has been a decade of lawsuits. This is in relation to how secure detention is paid for in Florida. So we worked very closely with the Association of Counties and with Senator and Representative Latvalas to get this done. And basically, beginning in 2017-2018, we will be at a 50-50 even split for detention costs in Florida.
Daly also noted that all the counties that sued her agency have committed to dropping those lawsuits, and that earned high praise from her predecessor, Wansley Walters. She also chairs the Florida Children and Youth Cabinet, where a number of agency heads recently gave their review of this past legislative session.
Congratulations on the detention cost share, something that I personally had given up on any hope of it ever being resolved, and I'm just so proud of the department and the work that you did.
Tanya Cooper with the Florida Department of Education says Governor Rick Scott and the Florida legislature prioritized funding for Florida students.
A historic total of $20.2 billion in funding for K-12 public schools, which includes $11.3 billion in state funding, which is the highest amount ever. And also reinvested $80 million in our digital learning, which is really good, knowing that we're relying on technology and giving us the data that we need.
Cooper says she was also happy about the legislation that passed, including a bill aimed at assisting the department in investigating educator misconduct and another requiring schools to update their anti-bullying policies. There's also the omnibus education bill, and Cooper says one thing it focused on is poor-performing charter schools.
Basically, immediately closing charter schools that receive two grades of F, to make sure that we're getting those students in the schools that can provide better education for them. Right now there's a 90-day waiting period that once a school gets the second F, they have 90 days to close. And that was happening in the middle of the school year, which is basically interrupting us students' education and having to get them into a different school. So now when school grades come out, they get the immediate F, then they're having to close. That way, that happens in the summer.
But some agencies didn't get all that they wanted.
It was a bit of a mixed bag for we have some victories and then some wild cards too.
Director of the Office of Early Learning Rodney McKinnon says he's happy legislation passed extending the eligibility for school readiness programs and voluntary pre-kindergarten programs, but he says while school readiness got funded, there was no VPK funding despite the governor's recommendation.
And I hope that we can get something done this coming session. It's really, really needs to be addressed.
DCF Secretary Mike Carroll says he received more funding to help with child investigators' caseloads, as well as more incentives for state employees to adopt a child. But he says he's particularly proud of a measure that did pass, an adoption intervention bill aimed at making sure adoptions were taking place in the interest of the child.
And sometimes that wasn't happening. So you had in these horrifying examples where you would have a dad who would kill mom, and then it would be dad who would determine, you know, who got to adopt the child as he was walking off to prison for the rest of his life. But there are other less horrifying but equally traumatic examples for kids, because we give no thought to the child's interest and all the thought to the parent's rights. And so this statute kind of balances that and allows a judge to take into consideration what really is in the best interest of a child.
That same bill was also championed by Guardian Ad Litem Executive Director Alan Abramowitz.
Other aspects of that bill that wasn't discussed is the way the law was written, the transition was immediate if you did do an intervention. Now there's a transition plan so the child could work their way if they had to go to another home. That was huge.
Other children-related issues fell under the Florida Department of Health, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, and the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. They include more help for kids with developmental disabilities, as well as eliminating the 5-year waiting period for children of legal immigrants eligible for Florida's Kid Care program. For WFSU News, I'm Sasha Cordner.